Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Namaste Radio. The intent of our programming is to increase awareness, inspire loving action, and ignite transformation and healing in our listeners, and through them, our world. Namaste Radio is brought to you by Namaste Publishing. Please join its interactive spiritual community. Communicate directly with authors, guest bloggers, and others like yourself who are spiritually seeking a better way of living. Connect, make friends, and be one with our new Namaste Global community at namastepublishing.com. And now, please welcome your host for this hour, Marie Bernard, on Namaste Radio, radio that will change your life.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Namaste Radio. Thanks for being with us today. I'm very excited to introduce today's guest, John Selby. He is the author of Expand This Moment, Focused Meditations to Quiet Your Mind, Brighten Your Mood, and Set Yourself Free. And throughout his pioneering career as a psychologist and a spiritual teacher, John has sought new solutions to confusion and suffering, and he's discovered proven techniques for attaining mental, physical, and emotional well-being. And the streamlined daily practice that he brings up in this book is the final result of a lifetime of psychological research born from his personal struggle and his spiritual awakening. And we're going to talk about the 12 focus phrases that he teaches in this book, and it's just an amazing book, and I love how he's not telling you that you have to meditate for hours a day. I'm sure there is benefit to that, but we're going to talk about his book and how he views meditation. So welcome to the show, John.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for being with us, and I've been really loving your book, especially the first focus phrase, I choose to enjoy this moment. I've been kind of reminding myself throughout the week. Just yesterday I was at the beach, beautiful setting, having a walk, had my iPod on, great music, and in my mind I'm running through, you know, these running through thoughts about boys and, like, just, you know, things. I wasn't present, and I remembered I choose to enjoy this moment, because when you're in your head, you're not experiencing the world.
Yeah, that is certainly the base truth that where psychology and meditation meet, is the fact that we can choose to focus in the present moment, which is an experiential process, a perceptual and sensory and intuitive process, or we can go off into thought and memories and imaginations, which actually takes us out of the present moment. And all of us love to think. I'm not someone who's saying, you know, thinking is bad. Imagination and all of this is, and memories is wonderful. What I'm helping people to do is to consciously maintain a balance between being here and being lost in thought. And the great challenge, of course, is how do we remember to remember? And the tools that I've developed are really pragmatic methods in which we can very rapidly bring ourselves into the present moment and quiet that flow of thoughts through the mind. Mm. And by the way, I don't think people should sit and meditate for an hour a day. I don't think they should meditate for half an hour a day. My thing is, let's all meditate all the time. Mm-hmm. Because meditation just means really to be here, right? So for me, meditation is an all the time experience if we can do it.
Beautifully said. And so in your book, now it takes time to practice these, but you also mentioned that once you have learned these 12 focus phrases, you can actually get down to three minutes, and you would want to maybe do this throughout the day to kind of keep yourself present.
Yeah, everyone will find their own path for this process, but it's basically a three-minute process to move through the 12 focus phrases. And actually, when you get to the ninth and tenth, right at that point, when your mind is quiet, of course, if you want to spend half an hour or an hour in deep meditation, really see what the inner voice is bringing, that's, of course, you know, an option. But I'm doing a lot of work now bringing this into the workplace, where, you know, in 3 minutes, if you can really fully shift into the present moment. It can make such a difference in terms of, you know, all of us basically are working at least half of our waking hours. And if we can bring this quality of awareness into the workplace, I think that's really, really where the revolution lies. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say that, first of all, to your listeners, hello, everybody out there. Radio Land is wonderful. We're all tuned in here together. And I do have a website where all of this is, all of the guidance, the video programs and so on that guide you through this learning process, it's all on the website. So you don't have to take notes or whatever. Just go to johnselby.com and I will take you through this enough times to where you really get it. And on the other hand, this is an instantaneous process. Immediately, it starts to work. You can just say to yourself the first focus phrase, like you said, I choose to enjoy this moment, and something happens. You aimed your attention in that direction. On the other hand, if you take the book and you work with it for a month or two, you actually do go deeper and deeper until you really internalize the process. So I do am a great believer, say like Michael Brown. I think you published Michael Brown.
Yes, we do.
A tremendous, wonderful program, very similar to what I'm doing. And he lays out, you know, devote yourself for these 10 weeks and really go through the process. And that is also a little bit of discipline goes a long way in this.
So how, now you mentioned that the remembering to remember is the challenge. And so do you have any tips on remembering to remember?
Yeah, there are a lot of approaches to that. I think one of the important things to remember is that, for instance, Eckhart Tolle has so beautifully and amazingly given us the conceptual structure to understand why it's so important to live in the present moment. And yet, all of us continue to drift away. And the key way, of course, to bring us back, and this is psychological as well as meditative, we simply have to remember to focus our attention on our breathing. I'm one of those teachers who aims at breath awareness 100% of your day. There's nothing that we can't do except be lost in thought, which we won't do better if we're also aware of our breathing. Because as soon as we become aware of the air flowing in and out of our nose, we're here. And this is where everything is really happening. So breath awareness is, of course, and of course, once again, as Michael Brown has said so beautifully, it's the key. That is what we need to remember, to stay aware of our breathing. And about a third of my focus phrases are doing just that, the first third. The first one, like you said, is I choose to enjoy this moment. We must choose where to focus our attention, and who doesn't want to enjoy the moment. So that's the first step. The very next focus phrase really gets the job done. I feel the air flowing in and out of my nose. You say it silently to yourself. You state your intent and immediately notice that all of a sudden you're aware of the air flowing in and out of your nose simply because your ego mind remembered to state your intent. It's really that simple, and we still have such a difficult time mastering it.
And John, I noticed that as soon as I start to focus on and feel the air moving in and out of my nose, I become much more lucid than I was a moment ago.
Absolutely.
It's amazing, just instantaneous. Yeah. And I'm curious because the other day I was feeling low and I was remembering, okay, I choose to enjoy this moment. And it wasn't really, I kept kind of saying it to myself, and it wasn't really holding on. And I'm wondering, so why did you choose to have the enjoying the moment first rather than the breath coming first?
You know, when this first came to me, the breath was the first. And after about a year or so, I was guided to see that if you state your intent to enjoy this moment, that lines you up to where when you then focus on your breathing, you're going to focus on your breathing in a clear present moment place. Now, about, let's say, 20% of the time, most of us, when we say the first focus phrase, I choose to enjoy this moment, we realize, no, I'm suffering, I'm all tense and emotionally, I'm a wreck. And as Michael Brown suggests, at that time, it's important, in fact, to honor that feeling and to simply stay with the breathing and the negative feeling. My program is not to run away from that feeling. But if you're at work, for instance, or you're relating them to someone, and to choose to enjoy this moment as your primary intent, and then to do whatever you're doing, is a great positive transformation. And then, of course, the process that I'm working with is that you move fairly quickly through these focus phrases, and they build one on the other. One leads to the other. That's how it came to me. If you say, I choose to enjoy this moment, and in fact, right then you're not, definitely the next step is to say, I feel the air flowing in and out of my nose. And to bring yourself here, in fact, where enjoyment lives. It's an amazing fact that pleasure, the joy of life, the bliss, exists only here in the present moment. This is where we feel good. In fact, this is where we feel in the present moment. So if we want to enjoy ourselves, we must then bring ourselves to our breathing as that first step. And if we focus just on the air flowing in and out of our nose, which is a basic Buddhist meditation, we quickly are going to go off into thought again. So what I've come to understand is that you then move through a consciousness expansion process with these focus phrases. The next one is, I also, while you stay aware of the air flowing in and out of your nose, to say, I also feel the movements in my chest and belly as I breathe. All of a sudden, awareness expands to include the torso. And then you go the final step. I'm aware of my whole body at once here in this present moment. And in just a minute or so, you aim your attention toward expanding your awareness into what basically is the Zen state of present moment awareness, where you're fully here in your present, in your body. And in just 1 minute, you can do that. And if you exercise it, in fact, you get very good at it, where it almost happens simultaneously just when you remember to come back here.
And it's interesting what happens to not only yourself and how you're able to handle the day and life and your daily interactions, but people and the world around you start to relate to you differently when you're present.
That is certainly true, yeah, because you become a beacon of light. You actually help them come here too. Mm-hmm. And of course, the beauty of all this is we're moving toward, for instance, the fifth focus phrase. Once you've come into your body, the fifth focus phrase is, I am ready to experience the feelings in my heart. And there you are, sort of an expansion of Michael Brown's process. It very specifically guides you into whole body presence. And in that state, then you say, I am ready to experience the feelings in my heart. And boom, you do.
And now, John, what if these feelings are difficult to feel? I mean, so much of our world and our daily life is spent avoiding these feelings. So when they do come up, what do you do?
Well, I, in my psychological work, bringing this together with the spiritual path, I actually became a Presbyterian minister in order to dodge the draft back in the Vietnam days, until they kicked me out for being a Buddhist because I was teaching meditation and yoga. But, you know, Jesus taught three primary things. He gave three orders, you know, three commandments. And people tend to not even notice this in the church. He said, fear not, judge not, and love one another. And if we directly focus our attention toward moving out of fear mode, and out of judgment mode, and into heart mode, in fact, we pretty much will resolve most of the sort of old chronic negative feelings that we have. And that's what the next three focus phrases do. Once you are aware of the feelings in your heart, notice what happens if you say this. I let go of all my stress and worries and feel peaceful inside. Now, the amazing thing is that what you're doing is called cognitive shifting. You're choosing not to focus on anxiety and worries. Now, fear not actually means simply to shift your focus of attention out of that whole functioning of the basically the reptilian mind that we still have in our heads. Shift it in another direction toward peace. The work that I've done, mostly as a psychologist, has been to study cognitive shifting. And focus phrases are actually the answer to that, in which you state your intent to shift your focus away from what makes you feel bad. Simply shift it in a direction that is positive. And there's a time, certainly, you know, as Michael teaches so beautifully, to deal with the old pain and to integrate it and to heal it. But there's also, in our everyday life, we simply need to choose not to focus there. And it's called taking charge of our mind. I actually present this to the business community as awareness management or mind management. Maybe I'll go through the next two just to, so people get the sense of how this middle part, the emotional part, works. Once you choose to let go of anxiety and stress and to feel peaceful, here's a big, beautiful one. I accept everyone I know just as they are. Just haul off and do it. What a beautiful feeling it is not to judge people. You know, it just takes us all off the hook, and we, in fact, then we can love. The psychological reality is that right here in this present moment, people simply are how they are. That's who they are. And to judge them for it is simply to knock them down more. And I really feel all the spiritual teachers have been saying, you know, that love is this process of stopping judging and simply accepting people how they are. And the more I look at that and accept the world the way it is, and we're so busy trying to change this world, it's like saying, God, you know, mostly God, you did a pretty good job with your creation, but you messed up here and you messed up here, and that's terrible, and that's terrible. It's really judging God's creation to say, you know, I want to change this world. If not, I don't accept it. I studied with a fellow named Alan Watts back in the old days, and he taught many wonderful, deep things. But he taught that in order, and of course this is the Lao Tzu and so on taught this, in order to change something, you must first fully accept it. Because when you're judging something, you are not engaged, you're not participating in the present moment. You pop out of that into judgment. But when you accept the way things are and come in and participate with love, you then, in fact, are changing that situation. But you're changing it at the level of a spiritual transformation and not just judging it and trying to have your ego say, this needs to be different. So that seventh focus phrase is just, I mean, imagine going to work and just holding that in our minds. Oh, what a wonderful world it would be, huh?
Well, and John, it's interesting because you're coming at this from a fairly spiritual perspective, and here on Namaste Radio, we have a very spiritual mission in the world. But judging and releasing judgment is something that's very basic in cognitive behavioral therapy.
Absolutely. I am a cognitive therapist. Mm-hmm. And my path has been to see where the spiritual teachings and the cognitive science teachings are fully congruent. I really based what I do on that ongoing model. I've been very lucky in life. I've just returned from 20 years in Hawaii, basically doing research and development on this. I've been given over $1 million over the years to continue to just look deeper and deeper into this. Mm. And, you know, what we found are with these 12 focus phrases, they are a total realignment that can happen very quickly. But if we keep moving through the process, that simply by stating the intent and redirecting our attention regularly, transformation happens. That we don't have to do anything to grow and to heal and to advance. What we need to do, in my understanding, I love to be on a spiritual station so I can just come out and say this, that we need to learn how to quiet our everyday thoughts, let go of the thoughts that generate the fear and the judgment, and come into the present moment, which is actually where spirit flows through us. And as long as we are not in the present moment, spirit actually cannot flow through us and into the world. So, yeah, I'm a very spiritual psychologist. It does seem to me essential as on the spiritual path to be in the present moment as much as possible, so that, in fact, we are vehicles for spiritual transformation. And it doesn't take any effort. We participate, but it's not our ego trying to change things because they scare us or we don't like them. And then the eighth focus phrase finishes this primary sort of guiding your horse to water, leading your horse to water. I honor and love myself just as I am. Trying to change ourselves is judging ourselves. Thinking that we have to get better or that there's enlightenment at the end of the trail and we have to like struggle on the spiritual path to change ourselves, in my understanding, is not really the spiritual path. The spiritual path is based on love. And if only, and the primary love that we don't give is honoring and loving ourselves just as we are right now. Just stop all the effort to change and to get better. And as soon as we stop, love flows in. And love, in my understanding, is the healing agent. That's why I stopped being a therapist and am now just a spiritual teacher. Because it wasn't me doing something for someone else. The idea of being a facilitator doesn't quite make sense. Each of us must, as they say, be a self-facilitator. I can help you lead your horse to water. But I come from a cattle ranch. I'm full of those aphorisms. But this process simply leads you. Now you have now gone through the process to where you're ready to state the two deepest spiritual intents that I find. And if you do it often, wow. Your mind is now quiet. You're here in the present moment. You've let go at least some of your emotional tensions. Notice what happens if you say, I am open to receive.
Wow.
Just that simple. I used to have more words. I'm open to receive, God, blah, blah, blah. Just the act of opening to receive when you're in a quiet mind state enables spirit to inflow. I don't care what I throw out beliefs as fast as I get them. It's like, if this is not a religious thing based on beliefs, it doesn't matter what you call the inflow. What matters is quieting the mind and allowing the inflow to happen. That, for me, is meditation. That's where we tap insight, creativity, and the integral function of the human mind, but it's also where the deeper voice of spiritual wisdom comes to us, And it's where we actually tap the guidance that moves us into participating really as spiritual beings in the present moment.
I'm just, as soon as you said I'm open to receive, I just felt this in my sort of, in my stomach and my solar plexus area, just like, wow, kind of open up. And I'm thinking, my mind is reeling again, thinking, oh, I wonder what it feels like for other people. but that's just really, really powerful.
Yeah. And then to, right, you know, that's why this is a process, because this final one really, really does the job. I feel connected with my source. Turn your attention directly toward your source, not as a philosophy or idea. Notice the word feel runs throughout this whole process. I feel connected, connected with my source. If we don't aim our attention exactly in the direction where we feel connected with our source, we won't feel that. And this is where my passion is. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. These focus phrases are a tool. That's why I say take them to work, take them on a date with you. Because in order to really be fully spiritually here, we need to hold our focus of attention in directions that nurture spiritual awareness. And it is the ego that remembers to say these words. For me, my definition of the ego as a psychologist is that the ego is in charge of deciding where to focus our power of attention every moment. So I don't tell my ego to go off in the corner and be quiet. I welcome my ego to step by step through this process to develop its own spiritual maturity to where my ego realizes, hey, I really need to do this. Because the ego is the discipline. When we focus our attention, when we choose to focus our attention, that is the act of disciplining our attention. That's a beautiful thing. Otherwise, we're just being, you know, the media controls our attention, right? Mm-hmm. If we don't say, hey, I'm going to focus attention where I feel guided to, other people are going to take our attention and gobble it up. So those first 10 focus phrases guide, in my understanding of meditation, guide you right to the point where I get out of the way. I have nothing to do in terms of programming you with the experience that's going to come, because every moment you'll have a new experience. That's why the present moment is such a great place to live. The present moment never repeats itself. It's always new. Nice place to live, huh?
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And I love how you're not excluding the ego. You're making the ego a partner in this journey.
Yeah, and giving it something to do, a value. So that if the ego says, okay, every morning I'm going to hold these focus phrases in mind as much as I can, then you fill your mind with exactly the thoughts that are going to nurture you spiritually the most. And the ego can relate to that. My whole book, Expand This Moment, I'm really talking to your ego. And I feel it's so important to communicate to that part of us that decides where to focus our attention, why it's so vital to regularly use tools like this to do it, to focus our attention in the directions that will overall nurture us the most. I did the same program, by the way, in two books for the business community. One was called Executive Genius and the other Take Charge of Your Mind, where there's no spiritual talk at all. It's all put into business modalities, because to the extent that we are here in the present moment practicing these 12 focus phrases, we succeed at our highest possible level because we are fully present. Empathy and cooperation is what makes business work. You know, competition is highly overrated. this whole world works economically because everyone's helping everyone else. And it's about time we got clear on that, so that our business and economic and survival part of the path is also a spiritual path. And I'm very much dedicated to that right now. Because right now we're just, you know, pretty much out of control in the business world. Nobody knows what to do next. So let's step up and say, hey, I know what to do next. Oh, yeah.
And there's so many, as I'm reading your book, I'm just like writing down quotes and brilliant things that you write. And I don't even know where to begin with some of them, because there's just, there's so much. But one of the things that I wanted to bring up is when we talk about the business world and we talk about the media and how we're just kind of out of control, something about our neurotic tendencies comes to mind, because we're really all, when we're just up in our head, we're not really functioning completely. And you're on page 43, you say you actively reduce your neurotic tendencies by becoming more aware of your breathing. And I think that's so important on a personal level for so many people who are in therapy and so many people who are dealing with depression and anxiety and all of that. But it also translates into the world of business and politics and media and everything.
It surely does. I imagine the 11th and 12th focus phrases, for instance, as we move out of this process, I want to have up in our U.S. Senate, you know, big neon lights, you know, because here's what they are. As you finish the meditation and you go back out into the world, I should mention that we even have 90-second apps on people's mobiles now. We just finished it last week. To where you can, like, in 90 seconds, just go, you know, hear or look and receive a hit of these and just, boom, you know, get those tools right when you need them. But the final two, when you're going out into the world, is, first of all, state your deeper spiritual intent. I am here to serve, to love, to prosper, and enjoy myself. If you take one of those four out of the equation, your life will be hell. We have to have a balance of all four. And if we simply say to ourselves five times a day, this is why I'm here. We're all here to serve. We're all here to love. And we're all here to prosper. Plenty for all. And we're here to do what it says in the Old Testament, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. This is what God said to do, right? Make a joyful noise. And it doesn't even have to be in tune. It could be a noise, but it needs to be joyful. And all organisms are basically programmed, all living organisms, to move toward pleasure and away from pain. You poke an amoeba and it moves away from you. We're the same way, and we need to acknowledge that, yes, what we really want to do is to feel good. And if we really want to feel good, let's state that as our intent. Let's get clear on it. And then the final one, I am ready to act with courage and integrity.
Hmm.
Yeah, oh boy. If we say those, for instance, I always get nervous before I do a radio show because I risk everything. I sit here and I quiet my mind. I forget everything I have to say. I risk everything to see if I can actually just stay with my breathing while I do this interview. And if I focus on courage and integrity and hold my focus there, those words work an amazing transformation. They short-circuit all of my old anxieties about, oh, my God, you know, what if I can't think of anything to say, and so on. So holding these thoughts in mind, they're not positive affirmations. I'm not saying every day my bank account is getting bigger and bigger. These are related to experiential facts. These 12 focus phrases, I've never met anyone who disagreed. This is what we all want. That's been what my 20 years has been about, is to understand, you know, really, what is it that we want, and what, how can we, in fact, just choose to move in that direction and do it? And by holding these focus phrases in mind, this does seem to get the job done. I mentioned in the book, quite honestly, it's a very honest book. I didn't write it, I talked it out. And it's a deeper process to talk a book into voice recognition software. And I admit that about 10 years ago, after I had spent a tremendous amount of time building a gigantic philosophical and psychological structure, I myself was really knocked flat. And I just emerged from this very deep, dark, unconscious place. Step by step, these 12 focus phrases did come to me. Whether it was the synthesis of my, you know, integral mind, or, you know, God gave it to me on a tablet, I don't claim authorship of these. That's why I give them away so freely to everyone, is that they came to me. And I also have always had a hard time tooting my own horn and saying how great I am. But these are separate for me. I can just, you can hear in my voice, I am deeply honored to be able to present these focus phrases. They transcend my individual life. And many people are saying similar things. I mean, this is not new. What it is I often use the metaphor, this is the mouse of meditation. It's not a computer mouse. These focus phrases are a meditative mouse that very quickly aim your attention right where you want to go and get you there. That's all I'm here to do, is to help people use a better cognitive tool for moving into this deep meditative process wherever they are, because we surely need it, for instance, in the workplace and in our relationships.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, John, for giving us all of the 12 tools. I always try to balance with when I have a guest on the show. I don't know how much of the information they want to give away freely, because obviously it is a book. I'm sure you are hoping people will purchase it, and there is far more information than what you've shared. But, I mean, you've given away the 12 focus phrases. Anyone who's listening to this show now can take that information and run with it and experience greater enlightenment and greater happiness and presence every day. So thank you for that. And so let's talk about, you mentioned relationships, and I think even in the business world, all of our interactions are about relating to other people. So let's talk about how these focus phrases relate to our interconnectivity with other people.
Absolutely. Yeah, the first four focus phrases, really the five focus phrases, bring you into your own physical body and get you here. Then, as you saw, the next three are really dealing with how you relate with the outside world. As long as we're in a state of fear, as long as we're just worrying about something, we're just worrywarts, aren't we? It's astounding. I've spent a lot of time in Expand This Moment explaining clearly, psychologically, where cognitive science has now gotten, is that worrying does not benefit us at all. It is a dysfunctional function of the mind that one way or another we need to move beyond in terms of evolution or tools. Because as soon as we worry about something happening in the future, and by the way, anxiety is all future projected imagination, we pull ourselves out of the present moment, and the anxiety generates a physiological state in which we get nervous, we get shaky, we get weak, we can't think clearly, we lose contact with our heart, we have no empathy. A host of negative things happen when we allow our mind to think thoughts that generate the emotional response of anxiety. Cognitive science is so important because it says, hey, those emotions that you're feeling are being activated by thoughts you're allowing to run through your mind. The only thing you can do to stop the anxiety is to quiet those thoughts and focus your attention elsewhere. So that statement, I let go of all my stress and worries and feel peaceful inside, will make you a beacon of light in the workplace, because everybody is so stressed that the one person who isn't actually by default becomes the leader. Because in my work with executives, I point out it's not considered business-like to talk about being in touch with your inner voice of wisdom. We don't talk that way, you know. But who wants a leader who is not in touch with their inner voice of wisdom, right?
Mm-hmm.
We do need to, and we cannot be in touch with our inner voice if we are anxious. And Jesus didn't say, go to a therapist and spend 20 years working out your neurosis. He said, don't go there. Fear not.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, when I was at seminary, that just suddenly hit me. That he said, don't go into fear mode. So I was a psychologist when I went to seminary. He said, judge not. Just do not activate the judgment function of your mind. And ever since then, and I'm 65, it's been a long time developing this, I must say. I was trying to find tools that would enable us to make that cognitive shift immediately. And one focus phrase can do it. We really don't need any more. It gets the job done. And also simply to say, I accept everyone I know just as they are, at work, for instance. And stay aware of your breathing. None of it works unless we stay aware of our breathing. So that's always key. If I am simply, for instance, out on a date, in a deep relationship, whatever the relationship is, if I make staying aware of my breathing primary, and whatever happens with that person secondary, I become here for that person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so important to put breathing, breath awareness first, and everything else second. That's the challenge I give to you folk. Right now, I hope while I've been talking, you've been aware of the air flowing in and out of your nose, movements in your chest and belly as you breathe. Hold on to that. You know, use whatever tools work best for you that keep returning you to being here in your breathing. Then love can flow in. Then relationships happen.
Beautifully said. And I'm just thinking of how that would have helped me so much on the weekend. If I had been present and focused on my breath, I wouldn't have been all worrying about other things. And
it is so amazing. And I don't mean to get personal here, but I write quite a bit, very honestly, about sexual relating.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine, you know, if you're in bed with someone, and before you start doing anything, both of you simply lay there, tune into your breathing, and simply be together.
Mm.
Reach the point where you say, I'm ready to experience the feelings in my heart. And don't have any ideas of what you're going to do. Let it happen. That's sexuality. That's where sexuality and spirituality merge.
Mm.
Because there's nothing deeper. The chakras are very real things. As you find out, I talk quite a bit about the chakras in this book, not as ideas, but as realities. And if two people are together and they come down into the body, you know, and are aware of their whole body at once here in this present moment, that aligns your chakras and balances them. And in that energetic state, the breathing, you will simply breathe your way into a sexual encounter where all seven chakras for both of you temporarily merge. And that's an intense thing to do.
Wow.
That's bliss. That's great. That's it.
That's hot, definitely.
Yeah. I actually wrote a triple X rated spiritual novel called the Mahi Vision. If any of you want to really read something, which is the deepest thing I've done, you can go online, and it's just an ebook right now. But that's a book where the female character really wrote that book. She's very, really far beyond me. And it's a woman who is every moment living this. And the male character is more like me, who is, you know, with her, but where the male principle is, in fact, learning to follow the female principle into these areas where the female principle, in fact, is deeper. And I'm very much, in favor of us men really learning more from the female principle, allowing ourselves to be guided and not always be the guide. In my work, too, I love coming across someone like Michael Brown, for instance, where I can surrender and allow this person who has a deep, amazing vision and method for emotional healing to, you know, not only be the teacher and the guide, but often, you know, shift and continue learning. Oh, yeah.
Beautifully said. And there's just, the book is Expand This Moment, Focused Meditations to Quiet Your Mind, Brighten Your Mood, and Set Yourself Free. And your website is johnselby.com, S-E-L-B-Y.com. Is that where people can download the app that you were talking about?
Yeah, they can get the app there. They can also access through streaming video loads of guidance on their computer and audio and so forth. I've tried to use the web as a spiritual tool. It's a wonderful, amazing, exciting time we're living in when we can all be so connected and we can get so much for free or almost for free. It's a very exciting time, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It really is. And it's amazing because with this technological age that we're in, we're even more up in our minds than we have been in previous decades and centuries. So we're becoming farther detached from our bodies and our spirits. But when you're able to connect and expand the moment and use these focus phrases, it puts you in that like hyperdrive of like connecting, because we're in this technological age. When you're able to combine that with presence, it's just amazing, and everything is open to you.
You just said that beautifully. Absolutely. Yeah, that's what I'm doing with the. In fact, I'm every day now. I'm doing a new blog. I'm really dedicated to being there online and seeing what Spirit is bringing me each day and just letting that flow out. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And also making it to where every half hour someone can go and just watch a 3-minute video, even staying on the computer, and use that technology to, in fact, bring them into their body and their spiritual presence at the computer. We got to do it. We absolutely must do it.
And you can set reminders on your cell phone, like little alarms. Say, remind yourself, I choose to enjoy this moment, and feel your breath and all of that. And I want to bring it back because we were talking about fear. When you're in that fear mode, you're just not present. When you're feeling anxious, and there was another quote in your book that really jumped off the page for me, and I just want to recite it. Leaders from time immemorial have known that a fearful population is easy to dominate. If meditation can free us from chronic manipulation by military, political, and economic powers, then meditation is indeed a revolutionary act against the fear-based status quo.
Yeah, sometimes I got to call a spade and say things like that, because it is true. I was very lucky. From the time I was 3 years old, I was, physically, listening to Krishnamurti, a really, truly great spiritual teacher. And what he put into my ear and what has not gone away is this statement that he said over and over again in many ways. Do we require urgently a world revolution, and that revolution must be psychological, that the revolution must happen within ourselves, and it's a revolution in the mind. That's what this is all about. It's just, this is the game plan for how to lead the revolution within your own mind. And the beautiful thing is, the mind is just waiting for us to do this, to break free of the programming and the conditioned fears, and actually let spirit flow in to the present moment through us. I'm here for the revolution, and it is the transformation revolution. And these are my tools. Many people right now, thank God, you know, that many, many teachers are coming forth with really good tools. I continue to mention Michael Brown, because his tool helps you, you know, when you do my meditation and you have some time and you realize, oh boy, well, I've got something to work through. There's pain in me. His process, which is taught in the Presence Process, his book, is the best. I'm writing a book that's fairly similar to that now for couples, actually sort of moving what he teaches at a very high level. Unfortunately, like 3 out of 4 people who get his book sort of turn away because he demands a lot intellectually to understand the process. Mm-hmm. A lot of my work is simply, you know, retranslating these deep visionaries into a language and a process that more people can access. I've always been interested in just kind of the average person. How can we all, you know, understand how to do this? But when we have time to deal with the pain, a deep process like that is important. And all of the rest of the time, this process in these 12 focus phrases, you know, seems ideal. But there's also a time simply, you know, to put it all away and to be aware of the breath coming and going, and to experience whatever discomfort is in the body, the emotional discomfort. Simply accept it. Don't try to change it. And in the process of focusing loving attention right where we hurt, healing happens. Hmm. That's the sum of all really spiritual healers and teachers, is that it's love that heals. It is not an ego function. And our only duty, our only responsibility when we hurt, is to continue to stay aware of the breathing as it comes and goes that holds you here, and to focus your loving attention right where you hurt. If you never focus where you hurt, you're never going to heal. This is, you know, Uncle Selby's fact right there. That's how it is. So I'm encouraging people, you know, to use these methods and to be, you know, to be courageous and to have integrity. And integrity means facing reality and not looking away. If you hurt, love it. Allow the healing process to happen. Yeah, it's all in the breathing. Like God breathed life into man. You know, it's all breath. You'll know when you're dead if you watch your breathing and you haven't breathed for 5 minutes. That's how you know you're dead. It defines our whole life, right? And yet we're not even aware of it most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know we take it for granted. And some people think, well, it's so simple, it mustn't be worthwhile. But when you bring it back down to that, just, I mean, we talk about connecting to your source. I mean, the breath is about as close as you can get.
It is. Inspiration, inspire is the inhale. Inspire, yeah.
Well, thank you so much, John, for being on the show. Again, the name of the book is Expand This Moment, Focused Meditations to Quiet Your Mind, Brighten Your Mood, and Set Yourself Free. And you can visit John's website at johnselby.com if you would like to check out the apps. And is there a link to that XXX story you have there, or do people have to just Google
there
that?
There is. If you go in and click on books, and the Mahi Vision is right there. And please, I welcome everyone to, when you read something or read a blog on my site, comment. You know, let's dialogue.
Lovely. And so before we close the show, John, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I think only to reiterate, you know, for us to maybe sit for a few breaths and just be aware of our breathing, and to be silent might be a very wonderful thing to do. And I would say one thing. The older I get, the deeper I experience the fact that consciousness does not function in the space-time continuum. We are all here together right now, always. And so we actually can feel being together right now. So I love that feeling. You know, here we are together, breathing together. Yeah. Blessings on all of us, huh?
Well, thank you so much, John, for being on the show. It's been such a pleasure to read your fabulous book and to speak with you. I love how your presence just comes across. I know people are going to be downloading this show, putting it on their iPods, because it's definitely an expansive hour. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Well, thank you for doing such a good job with the interview of allowing experience to come into where we're not just talking about, we're actually having an experience during your show. That is beautiful. Thanks, Marie.
Oh, thank you. Well, have a great day. Namaste, John.
Yeah, you too. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. So again, that was John Selby, and he is the author of Expand This Moment. If you'd like to connect with him further, go to his website, johnselby.com. I am your host, Marie Bernard, and we will be back again in 2 weeks' time when we will be speaking with Janine Roth, who is a friend of David Ord's, who is the editorial director at Namaste Publishing. So again, thank you so much for tuning in. It has been such a pleasure to bring this to you, to serve you and connect with you and prosper with you and enjoy and experience this moment with you. So thank you so much for connecting. Have a wonderful day. Be well. Namaste.
Thank you for joining with us for this hour of Namaste Radio. For further spiritual insights and sharing, please join us in Namaste Global Community at namastepublishing.com. If you enjoyed the show, please add Namaste Radio as a friend, favorite the show, and tell someone about it. Sharing this show is a precious gift that's completely free. Thank you. May you enjoy each moment of your day. Namaste.